WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. There is a lot of junk in space. That may sound like an April Fool's ploy, but it's not. As indicated by CNN Business, there are millions of pieces of debris whirling around in space, the consequence of 50 years of space travel and few regulations requiring companies and governments to keep space clean. The number of active satellites in the skies could more than triple over the next decade as more than 7,000 new devices are added. Experts predictably fear that as outer space becomes increasingly crowded, collisions could set off disastrous chain reactions. Not only could this interfere with scientific exploration, it could interrupt your GPS service, satellite TV, internet, and phone service. Internet startup OneWeb has a solution, at least a partial one. It intends to deploy hundreds of new satellites into Earth's orbit and is committed to removing its satellites once they complete their mission. That's quite a service, since it would take more than 2,000 years for Earth's gravity to drag OneWeb's satellites out of orbit if they were left alone at the end of their lives. But OneWeb has pledged to deorbit its satellites within 5 years after they go offline. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. The arrival of the iPhone, the spread of e-commerce, and rides supplied by Lyft and Uber have yet to deliver the level of productivity growth that led to surging American prosperity during prior technology booms. But as indicated by writer Josh Mitchell, new data indicate that the latest and ongoing technology boom is beginning to give the economy a helpful jolt. As indicated by recent Labor Department data, multi-factor productivity expanded 1% in America last year. That represents the strongest gain since 2010, which was the first full year of the current economic expansion. Multi-factor productivity measures the improvement in U.S. output after accounting for any additions to capital and labor. It represents an approximate measure of innovation. In other words, it measures how much more companies are able to produce by coming up with better ways to utilize existing resources rather than by simply adding more workers or machines. A 1% advance in multi-factor productivity hardly represents a boom, however. After all, this form of productivity expanded by an average of 1.4% between 2000 and 2007. Despite last year's gain, this measure has expanded by only an average of 0.4% since 2007. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. With approximately 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 each day, an age closely associated with retirement, economists have been predicting steady declines in labor force participation. But since bottoming out in September of 2015, the share of America's population aged 16 and older who are working or looking for work has stabilized at around 63%. This pattern of stability cuts against an extended decline that traced back to 2001. In fact, as indicated by the Wall Street Journal, over just the past 6 months, the number of people who are outside of the labor force has declined by 1 million. That represents the largest such decline on record. Many economists simply did not foresee the solid performance of the labor force participation statistic that has transpired over the past 3 to 4 years. The labor force has managed to attract new participants due to an abundance of job openings and rising wages. In particular, this has drawn more workers to the labor force in their prime working years, meaning those aged 25 to 54 years old. Meanwhile, the participation rate has not been suppressed as significantly as expected because of rising participation among older workers, including those of retirement age. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Don't look now, but our federal government's deficit continues to climb. During the initial 5 months of the current federal fiscal year, the U.S. budget gap grew 39% relative to the same period 1 year ago. Specifically, America's federal government ran a $544 billion deficit between October and February, according to recently released Treasury Department data. During that same period last federal fiscal year, the deficit totaled $391 billion. The problem really isn't about revenues. Revenues so far this federal fiscal year are down by less than 1% to a bit less than $1.3 trillion. The issue is spending. Federal outlays have risen 9% to around $1.8 trillion. That said, part of the increase in spending is due to a shift in the timing of certain payments, which makes the deficit appear larger. If not for those shifts in timing, the federal budget deficit would have risen 25% year over year, as opposed to that 39% statistic. As indicated by writer Kate Davidson, higher spending on healthcare, the military, and tariff assistance programs for farmers pushed the monthly budget deficit to a record $234 billion in February. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Economists talk and write a lot about gender gaps. We also work in a field associated with massive underrepresentation of women among other groups. As indicated by The Economist magazine, women today comprise around 30% of PhD students in economics. They are likelier than men to drop out of the profession as they strive to climb the career ladder. Among a group of 43 leading American universities, the female share of PhD students has been essentially flat for the past two decades, but the share of assistant professors in economics has actually been in decline since 2009. To more fully understand the issues at hand, the American Economics Association, the leading professional body for academic economists, published the findings of a survey of its members last month. The survey examines the occupation's professional climate. More than 9,000 economists, or 20% of those eligible, completed the survey. Remarkably, only two-fifths of respondents indicate that they felt valued within economics, with women and non-whites expressing the most dejection due to unfair treatment. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.